states that just because the parents eat sour grapes, does that mean that the children's teeth should be set on edge? No. Each person, each child, is responsible for their own sins. Not the sins
not
of the parents.
Not as a child.
They're responsible for their own
not
sins.
As a child, they're not.
It says that where?
How can you share your sins with your children?
Let me tell
because
you something.
Because you created these burdens.
Kids, you're supposed to guide them.
You guide them?
Yeah, you direct them because they don't know. They're minors. They're kids.
And what are you going
to do? That's what parents are for.
Put shackles on them for which way they go? You can't do that.
Shit.
Why not?
I'm not on them.
It doesn't always work. That's why.
It does not work.
But did you try?
Yeah.
You sure you tried?
Dude.
So wait, but to say you tried would be to ask your children if they felt you tried. You can't say,
I would have to ask them.
So you would have to say, hey, children, do you feel I tried? I don't know what Red would say about.
I would lock him up if I had to.
There you go. See?
Lock him down. No, you're not.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's a simple point. You can do that, but still. They're going to go make their mistakes. The only way you learn is by doing, even if you fuck up.
Yeah, but by doing, you need someone there to correct your mistakes when you make them. If the mistakes aren't corrected, you don't know they're a mistake.
But there are times when you could tell somebody the
no,
exact
stop saying right that shit. We're not talking about somebody. We're talking about children.
The children you can tell them, you can tell them exactly what they shouldn't do. And they will go out and fucking do it.
That's
and so
true.
How do you fix that?
Sometimes you have to let them experience the hardship.
And that's why kids out here right now hijacking motherfuckers. Because they mama sitting at home going, well, let the nigga learn. Y'all fucked up. It was y'all generation
you can't
that's
say that.
Fucked up.
If I told them kids, I guarantee you, you could take those kids, like you say, those kids carjacking. You could go to them right now and tell them what they're doing is wrong and give them whatever. They would probably still get together, sneak out the fucking house.
Hey, hear what you just said? That's how you know you fucked up. Because you said if you take those kids and give them whatever, you didn't show them how to get it, how to earn it, how to get it, how to make it happen. You said give it to them. Take them and just say, hey, here's a golden platter. Take that shit and be happy.
It's not, look, if I give you a car, but you decide to go out and steal somebody else's car, how fucked up a mentality is that?
Because I don't know that this is a good car. I saw some shiny and pretty.
Oh, come on now. Even kids at the age of 7 know the difference between right and wrong.
No, they don't. That's why they stick their hand on the stove when you say it's hot.
No, that's because.
So that shit been passed down for generations. For
if you are teaching kids, by the time the age of 7, they have discovered what is actually right and wrong. Okay.
And do you know,
kids know
the psychology says right between the ages of 1 to 5, half the shit you learn, you forget by the time you're 16. Half that shit you learn, you don't remember. I don't remember my first birthday. Hold a second.
Well,
if you told me
exactly
when I was 2,
amazing.
Don't steal a car. I don't remember that shit.
You try to find and put individuals in their little group and say, all black kids are this way. White kids
I didn't use race.
Way.
Did you hear me use race?
The kids of this way.
I didn't
I'm
your
using
race.
It. I'm using it for example.
But you said I.
Because if you, a person, or your psychiatrist, or whoever it may be, you can't generalize, and culture does have an impact on people. Here's an important thing. Each individual is a complexity within themselves. When you are brought up, just like we had talked at one time about sexual orientation, what is it that generates that? It has a lot to do with biology. It has a lot to do. There are people that are born as a hermaphrodite. They got a vagina and a penis. So what do you do with them? I've had dialogues with people like that. What do you do with somebody that's a reprobate? A reprobate is a person that just got evil on their mind. One of the famous hitmen, they call him Ice-T. Oh, if you walk by him, you looked at him wrong.
I got one question.
He may take you out. Now, here's with children.
Your son have a question for you.
Do the hermaphrodite have boobs or not?
I didn't get into that far. I didn't go in the pants.
If they ain't got boobs, it's a dude.
No. And this is a question I asked a guy that I was helping out. And I said, well, what do they usually prefer to go as? and she uses it as a woman. And this is a person that's looking to marry this person. And I said, oh, so it's like with you, you got the best of all worlds, I guess. And he laughed.
Now, let me just help to have
now,
the society.
Now, here's the thing. In society, with people, we can try to groom them for what's right, what's good. If you go back a couple hundred years, slavery was legal. Mm-hmm. You could go out and catch you somebody and say, I got one, you're going to be mine, or buy them or something like that. That's not right. What is right, what is wrong in society today is a whole different complexity of things.
But you know how that
Just because a guy is transsexual, should I say he's not successful? Mm-hmm. They just selected somebody that wanted the top offices in the United States. And they're like, yeah, who's that guy? Is transportation secretary or something? A booty itch or something?
Booty chat.
Okay, but anyway,
Booty jet, something like that.
Is he successful just because he got a job? My success for somebody seeing somebody is what's inside of them, what's their passion?
Okay, now y'all just got totally off the conversation.
Raising children, and seeing them look successful. To what extent do you got them? What do you put them in a box?
You did exactly what most black men like to do. You took the subject, you moved it over, you made it fit society, its bylaws, and how other people are fucked up to see the agenda. My agenda was not that. I brought it back to the beginning. My agenda was black men, as black men in y'all generations, the 50s and 60s and 70s, y'all fucked up. It wasn't society. Fuck Buddha Itch and his people. My thing was this. When you brought up slavery, the slave master beat my daddy's ass. My daddy came out there and told me, pick that cotton until I was the best nigga I could be. You know what I did? I picked that cotton until my balls was blue. Nowadays, you men of your generation have failed the generations after because y'all don't have that same mentality.
Because we don't beat you till your balls are blue.
Not even that. You don't even help us. You don't even force us into the right direction. You all have become the society narrative. Y'all have became the slaves. We've become the free ones. That's why you got the...
You keep saying stuff by force. If you give a
It is force. Life... People will tell you this all the time. Life is made of choices. You have
the
choice.
Yeah, but if you give a person those choices and they still do something fucked up, how is that your fault?
Because I don't know the choice. You never taught me the choice.
That's not true.
See, what you're saying is it's not true because you felt you taught me. That's because you felt you taught me don't mean I learned shit. It means you felt it. So as my father, it was your job to come to me and say, son, do you actually understand? And if you didn't know if I was lying to you or not, that was your fuck up.
But that's what I'm saying. If you didn't know I was lying, why would you lie? Where does that come from?
And I'm going to tell you right now, because I'm a fucking child and that's what children do. The same reason when you catch a criminal, they fucking lie. When you catch a kid, when my mama asked me, did a woman suck my dick in her car? I didn't say, mom, she sucked the shit off my dick. I said, no, mom, I would never do those things. It was your job to determine the truth. Look at Red. If his daddy walked into his room and he was beating his dick, you think he'll turn around and say, yeah, dad, it was a great orgasm. He would say, no, I was putting on lotion. Why'd you come in my room? Now you're going to say, oh, because my kids are fucked up, it's not my fault, and that's what's wrong with black men of your generation. Y'all fucked up, and y'all can't accept that y'all fucked up.
Why would you say that that's fucked up? I mean...
Because I have a dad. He's sitting right here. You're a dad. Your son's sitting here, and we're telling you, you fucked up.
Why is that?
Because you didn't help us. We got to these decisions.
Where is your failure at? You keep saying stuff.
I'm telling you what my failure is.
What?
You didn't push me to achieve more than what I could be. And people in a position less than me are higher than me.
So what you're saying is that you don't feel you're successful.
No. I'm saying I felt like my life may have been better off or could have been if I had a father that was willing to put me on his shoulders and say, look, little motherfucker, you need to go father. The father who accepted that, okay, you're doing okay. That's fine with where you're at in life. That's where you fucked up at.
Let's try that. So that rules with everything that the father... Let's say this father who had this... For example, Frederick Douglass. His father was the plantation owner. Mm-hmm. Didn't help him. In fact, was getting ready to sell him at one point, but he really didn't.
Was he white?
No, he's black. Mm-hmm. Frederick Douglass, the great orator.
I know he was my listeners.
The guy that started his own business. The guy that had his own business and went overseas that was quite successful. Mm-hmm. And his father never did a thing for him. His mother used to sneak and see him, would have to walk 12 miles to see him. Mm-hmm. And then had to get back to go to work. Only saw him at night. Mm-hmm. The parenting wasn't there, but the determination, and he said, all I can assess is that through the providence of God, that he put it upon me. If a child strays away from God, if he doesn't have that degree of guidance, then he loses it.
Let me stop you here. We are not a political, spiritual, whatever the fuck he was going with, Jesus and the disciples.
I put no Jesus in that.
This is my thing.
As far as the Creator was concerned, you got to have a connection for yourself.
So, let me bring this back to reality.
And if you're a fool, all right. If you're a fool, guess what you are? You're a fool. Every kid is not going to be perfect. I'm telling you
this. The good book, you appreciate it. I thank you for reading it. I hope you enjoyed it. My religion may not coincide with your religion. As far as our listeners, it may not. So, I'm not going to say he was right for pushing Christianity on his son or believing it.
He didn't push
Christianity.
I'm not going to
say Frederick Douglass was right for believing it. I'm going to say this. Take Christian out of the picture. Listen to what I'm saying.
Good.
One man has shit to do with the men in this room. We're talking about the men here today. I don't give a fuck what Frederick Douglass did. He could have been the first black president. I'm saying you men today have failed. That was it.
What if I fail at?
The way you raise your kids.
What's wrong with the way I raise my kid?
Children who have jobs that they don't want to do.
Do they get a paycheck?
So now we slaves? That's what a fucking slave master would say. You got money. I gave you cotton and freedom.
Well, let me say this. Pimping ain't easy then, okay? If he was a pimp and making good money.
With bad wine, your daddy.
You know what? You all right, boy.
Hey, Red, your dad said as long as you get some money, be a proud bitch. I hope you appreciated that. Senior, if you feel the same way, then hey, you should let me know now.
That's what you're alluding to. What is success?
Success is
I'm gonna tell you.
Success?
What?
Nope. It's number
when
one success.
You're happy at what you're doing.
Exactly. So and if he's not happy at what he does,
okay.
You fucked up.
That's not true.
That's not true.
No, it's not true. Kids don't have an opinion. You see this, Red?
You still have.
Fuck us.
You still have options to change.
No, you don't. What black man by the age of 30 has options? How much time and patience do I have left to invest? How much money do I have? Where am I at with my children, with my life, with my mental state? I live in a society where black suicide rate is extremely high. Where if I drive down 103rd, I might get carjacked. And you're telling me, you've got all the time in the world.
I didn't say anything about time. I said options. Right now, you have the ability.
What else would you be doing if you weren't doing what you're doing now? What would you be doing?
Honestly? Mm-hmm. I honestly feel like I'd be in jail or dead.
Okay,
so that would have made you successful
because you're not in jail or dead. You're successful.
Is that really a success?
You're doing something that you're happy.
Because people in jail get better health care than I do.
No, but you don't want to be in jail. You're another option.
But is that successful or is that complacency?
No, you're successful because you're good at what you do and you enjoy doing what you do.
But I'm not happy.
Are you happy?
But you know,
no.
What would you
at
be
this
doing
point in time,
if you're not doing
if,
what
if
you're
I,
doing?
If I was pushed and driven more,
what would you be doing?
I probably would own my own mechanic shop.
Okay, what's stopping you?
Now?
Yeah.
At the rate and the things I've done that I won't say on air, I don't have that.
You can't.
I can't. I'm not going to put that. Right now, I can't. But if I was pushed sooner to do it, then I know my life would totally be different. I wouldn't be where I'm at. I'd be farther along if I was driven more to where I'm at. Because
I
do it now,
yeah.
Not on a level that I would. But if I was driven more, I would have been like, hey, you know what? This is how we're going to invest. I'm going to show you what you need to do. I'm going to take this money and put it aside for you.
But what if they don't know that, to tell you that? Sometimes your parents don't even know about
I give you
investment
that. So even if
to
you don't,
even teach you about investment.
I give you that. So that comes into the play of, if you're happy where you're at in life, then your kids are going to succumb to, okay, this is all right with me. So if you became happy with that, then the shit just moves back even farther. It goes to the older siblings. Once the older siblings didn't show you, it goes up to the parents. Because I'm an older sibling, and I show my sibling shit. And they call me till today, like, hey, Black, you know, I need these brakes changed. I need this done. I know I should go to the dealership.
So, in other words, you feel like you're being their father. You're giving them more guidance.
I honestly feel like I've taken a father role to some of these little siblings. Because the fact, I'd be like, call your daddy. They'd be like, no, I'm calling you. Fuck, I didn't shoot you out my sack. Call that motherfucker. No, I'm calling you.
So, despite all the stuff that you're giving me, the rhetoric that I'm hearing, you still say you're not success, even though you're saying you're successful. You get
You said successful is being happy.
I think happiness is a fleeting thing. Well, what is really success for you? How do you measure that? I know I'm a success.
So let me stop.
I know I'm a success. You know,
Mr. Red, one question: do you think the sins of the father fall on the son? Do you think a father can help a son achieve success and happiness?
Do I think he can help him?
Yes.
Yeah.
And do you think if you don't achieve those goals, it falls on the father somewhere by a certain age? Corona. I saw the Rona roll out your lip.
That was Rona?
It wasn't Jack. Okay. It might be Jack.
Alright. What was the question?
Do you think it's a father's choice and their job to help a son achieve success and happiness by a certain age? Or at least put them in the right direction?
Put them in the right direction? Yeah. Now, to say to a certain age or whatever, I can't put an age cap on it.
Why not?
Because regardless of the age of the child and the father, that's still your child.
So you think that's a lifelong job?
Yeah. So even if they make a decision in the future that later on they say, damn, I don't like this, I don't do this, whatever the situation is, you can still help find or push or guide that child to find the avenue that he wants to be in. You know what I'm saying? Like, so you can still guide, you could be 99, 100 years old. You got a 6-year-old child that's like, hey, I need your help. I don't want to do this, I want to do this. You can still find or talk to somebody and figure out an avenue to get your child to where you think they should be.
Mr. Lazarus, do you agree with that? There's a certain age where a father stops pushing and showing his son how to achieve more success or more happiness?
I think that age isn't a factor so much as when you develop a good relationship that fosters independence. Now, as far as a person's measurement of if they're, you call it happiness or success, that's an individual thing that nobody can determine except for yourself. So I could give him all that he wants. I could give him plenty of peanuts. He don't even like peanuts. He's allergic to them. If I give him apples, he's allergic to them. What should I give to my son but a knowledge of how to discern what will work out for me? However, there are some basic things that you need to know and to do, given if you like it or not. How many jobs have I had? One person asked me that one time, and I counted up to 40 of them. You know, and I'm like, which one did I really like? It was the one that I had at that moment. You got to take care of some basic needs. You got to make some money. You know, we touched on the, like, should you be a pimp or this or that? You know, there are pimps out here. There are prostitutes out there. I know a few of them that are doing something different now.
You know, technically, you're your own pimp.
So you got a point.
Technically, you're your own pimp.
Depending on how you look at it, I guess. But here's the thing. That responsibility as a father, as a parent, it continues because if it's a good relationship, hopefully it'll continue. True story, I'll be brief. I had to do an investigation or death investigation to try to find a guy's family. And I got in touch with his sister. And she says, oh, that low down, blah, blah, blah. Oh, no. If he's looking for me, I said, no, he's passed away. And we're trying to find somebody to take the body from the hospital. She said, yeah, you better call this old no good son of his. I said, okay, give me the number. And I called. He goes, oh, you know, if he was still alive, I'd kill him. It's like, oh, well, if you got, and I kept going down the line. I said, well, give me an address. I went by the house where it's at. It's boarded up, nothing there. Now, in my mind, out of all those people, he was successful. There was no relationship. There's no, even the call of church that they said email went to. No, it didn't want nothing to do with it. I say, you just got to make it a state case. Do what you know what y'all do with them. That's how I did. I checked all the boxes. They said, okay, thanks for your investigation.
So what was the question?
That's not being successful. What about the relationship? When does the relationship end? How long does it go?
Oh, okay.
And what's a successful relationship? And when do you quit?
That was my question.
Do you quit ever supporting somebody in that? No, it's a never. It's a good
let me ask you this question. This is a yes or no. At the moment in your life where you stand, do you feel with your whole self, soul, spiritualness, whatever the fuck you got in there, do you feel you've successfully and happily pushed your male children to be the best and better than what they can be?
Oh, I don't think that we as a people, they in particular, have got to that. No, I don't think anybody, get anybody. Yeah. The violin player, he's supposed to be one of the greatest players, and he did a playing job, I think. And they asked him about that, and he's critical of himself. He feels he could do better.
Mr. Fluffy.
Yes.
Do you think, I'm a first question, do you think the sins of a father falls on a son?
They can.
Second question, do you think it is your job from birth to everlasting death to push your child to be more than successful and happy than wherever they are in their life, whenever it is?
I don't know. Maybe there is a cutoff point. Because at a certain point, when a man becomes a man, he makes decisions no matter what you tell him. He starts to think for himself. Now, you can always support him, yes. And you can try to guide him, give him whatever wisdom you know. But if you've done the job correctly, sometimes their knowledge might exceed yours.
So let me ask you this question. Now that you said that, I was hoping somebody gave me that answer. So you said at some point there's a cutoff because he's become a man, and that's as far as you can go with that man, right?
Well, I mean, you don't have to cut him off.
But you stop showing, enhancing, pushing.
It depends on how much you know.
But I'm saying, like once I said, you reach certain, the gap of your knowledge...
I mean, once you reach the maximum of your knowledge, I mean, at a certain point, I mean, if you don't know anymore, how could you teach him more?
Because at that point, you've shown your son enough that son now imparts that wisdom on his father. Because if the stock market wasn't around when you were younger, but now it's here when I am, I know my father doesn't know that. So what I'm going to do with the child is I'm going to impart this knowledge on my father. So even if I'm not here, his grandchildren will say, hey, let me show you something your daddy taught me. Let me show my great-grandkids something he taught me. Because what if I'm not here? What if the other ones aren't here? Whose job is it then to say, hey, let me impart what your father knew and learned past what I can show him on them? So should I not teach you as a child?
Well, I didn't say you shouldn't teach once you've learned more because... Prime example, my father was a sharecropper and he worked at a steel mill. Mm-hmm. That was the extent of his knowledge. Mm-hmm. But I feel I went farther than he did, even though he couldn't teach me more.
But did he give you any knowledge?
Yeah, I mean, there were some basic skills and stuff, survival skills.
Now, after you learned that knowledge, did you gain more knowledge?
Yeah, I went out.
Did you share that knowledge with him?
When I could, I mean...
But you shared some.
Yeah.
And so, is it not your job to share the knowledge you have with your child and for them to reverse it after? Now let me share my knowledge with you.
I hope that's what I did.
And so, if any point in time when raising a child, is it not your job to stop and say, hey, I'm going to need to know some what you know. Help, son, give me this. You don't want to pass that down? Other than post-traumatic slave syndrome, don't you want to pass something else down to your kids?
You can, yeah.
So when is it the father's job to say, son, show me what I didn't show you or I couldn't so that I know?
Well, I mean, if you feel that you're something that you don't know or you're missing in some arena that they do know,
you can reach out. If, because every generation something changes.
Yeah, not it does. I mean, it's like...
Y'all used to have them phones with the antennas and shit.
Yeah.
And you had...
We had pages.
Now you got phones with Wi-Fi outside.
That's what I'm saying. We had pages even.
So did one of your children or grandchildren not show you how to use that phone?
They might have, I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. So it's their job to impart it on you. So why would you cut off them or say, hey, this is all I got for you. I'm done.
I think they call it a rites of passage when you get to a certain point and you expect for a young man to start behaving like a man. Now, I've had little children come up and I'm like, hey, show me how you do this on this cell phone. And they definitely know how to do it better than me. But there are certain things, certain principles, and certain moral values that are eternal. There are certain things, respect. There are certain things that carry over, you know, from generation to generations that you can't learn on a computer system. It's certain things that we got to have as people. Love. What about love? And I think that's the key to what we're talking about here. How and when do you end love? Is it just because they're older? No. Is it because they're younger? No. Because I really feel that success composes a whole lot more than vocation. You work a job for a while, you get off the job. You do something that's fulfilling to you. And you should always be doing something that's fulfilling to you and have joy in what you're doing. Otherwise, you will find yourself being, suicidal. I want that new car. I haven't got it yet. I'm going to take it. Here's the thing.
Is that what you impart on your children? Find a job that pays good money and that's what you need?
Oh, it's not so much good money. You'll be able to eat. You got to eat.
You got a shit too, but you don't need money for that. You
can just I know some people that got fantastic, high paying, making lots of money, and they're real assholes.
Let me ask you.
And they call themselves happy in what they're doing by squashing other people.
So let me ask you this. To you and Fluffy, do you think the generation now is fucked up because of the generation, which y'all generation is the question? The generation now is from the generation of you all. Of your people. We're not talking about Frederick Douglass, Jesus, and his auntie. We talking about your generation. I don't want you to go back to Uncle Auntie in 1862. My one question is to you two. Y'all can brainstorm, whisper in each other's ear, lick each other's neck. The question is, is the generation now fucked up because of y'all generation?
No.
Fluffy.
I don't think it's totally not, because things change so much from one time period to the next that it's like when we were growing up and you were going to school and all that stuff, there was no such thing as online classes or, you know, certain other things, technology and everything has changed and advanced. And it seemed like this generation would almost have it easier to attain knowledge and wealth or whatever, you know, than our generation did. You know, so if we said this is how you go out there and do certain things, you know.
So let me ask you this question. Are you saying because past generations had it harder and this one has it easier, this generation should be more successful?
I'm not going to say should, I'm going to say can.
Can be?
Yeah.
And if they're not be, is it the parents to blame or them?
Maybe both, but because if your parents didn't have a business and you want to go into business, mm-hmm. they can't teach you business. they just can't. Mm-hmm. It's that simple. If you say, I want to run a business, and nobody in your family ever had a business, then you're going to have to go out and learn it.
Mm-hmm. So, this is my, now that you throw shit in the mix, your generation had college. College was easy to get into, right?
I don't know. I did so much college.
So it was easy to get into. You had so much of it, yeah. Right? So the generation before you didn't have that, right?
Right.
So that, according to your logic, you should have went further in college because you had the opportunity and the chance to do it. But you didn't.
I went farther than my father did.
But did you go further all the way to the maximum potential of what you could be capable of? Nothing stopped you.
No.
According to you, you know, go. You got it. It's easier.
I didn't say it was easy.
You did. You said it's easier for this generation than the last.
Well, I say some of the... It's easier to acquire knowledge because there are things that you can find at your fingertips. Because in all honesty, shit like Google didn't exist when I was growing up. We had Encyclopedia Britannica. I had to open up a book and I had to read.
Right now, hard or something? Was that like a hard thing to do?
No, what I'm saying was you can actually open your phone and ask your phone a question and get an answer. I mean, that's easier than what I had.
So I
got one question.
Go ahead, Rick.
Do you think between you guys, have you found the thing that makes you the happiest to do to make you feel like you're successful? Like your passion, the thing that makes you the happiest.
I like that.
Yeah, I have.
What's that?
I look at, for one, I measure my success based upon my community, basically. Had a little fella. It was one of those days that we had lost a baseball game. A little guy came over, and I could tell where he was from. I was teaching at that time, too. He goes, Mr. C, I'm still doing great in school and doing this and this and that. I remember the presentation you gave over at the school at the 8th grade graduation, and so I'm sticking on course. Even with the little small stuff like that in a community, even if, and it's no guarantee that your children, this person, but when you get the little small stuff and when your success is like being a good teacher, being a good leader, being somebody that genuinely loves people. And my success is seeing love. I've seen a number of my relatives that actually died in my arms. And I know that I'm there and I can provide a good word to them. I'm there and they feel confident. That's my success. Is it just on making money? No, I'm not
considering making money. I'm just saying what makes you.
That's what makes me feel fabulous. I feel great with that.
The answer you gave, you know, I like to start shit. So my question for you is, you said that boy you taught, he came to you and gave you that speech,
yeah.
And it made you feel good. It made you feel like you've achieved a moment of success in your life. Can you say, as your children, as the grown-ups they are, have they came and gave you that same speech that random child gave you, and you can see it?
Yeah, I think so.
No. I can't. Not you think so. Have one of your children came to you and said, "Dad, I am so happy you taught me this as an adult, gave you that speech and said, hey," and you know they're telling the truth, not some crazy shit off the wall.
Right.
You know, they came and said, "Dad, you taught me and showed me this as an adult. Right. Thank you for showing me this." Have they gave you that speech?
I think I've gotten it. You haven't been there. Here's the thing. In a moment in time, you get different input. The little guy that I talk to now, I don't know, he could still be alive. He could be running a company. In fact, I know one guy that he's got a production company in New York now that was a part of a group that I was with, a mentoring group. And he's like, he came back and he gave his whole spiel. I know with my other son over here, he was at a symposium, and there were like maybe 350 people there, and I'm wondering, why is he waiting? He said, I'll be the last one to speak, and he did. He almost brought me tears out. People came up and said, I bet you can't put that hat on your head when you leave from here, can you? So, I mean, he gave me such accolades that I was like,
honestly,
wow.
I didn't mean to cut you off.
Wow.
But you didn't answer my question.
Yeah, that was success for me at that moment. But when you get caught up in a tornado.
Any of your children gave you the exact same goddamn words.
They couldn't.
Why not?
Because they weren't at the eighth grade graduation. They weren't in the class that I was teaching.
Have any of your children gave you a similar context of verbal communication that said what he said?
I just said yes.
What did they say?
One in particular.
Because you remember that kid's words. So what did your kid say?
One in particular, what I was just mentioning. He said, you may not think I noticed, but all the times that you were at work at midnights and everything, and you sacrificed for us, the time that you came in and you would go to sleep with your work clothes on and everything, you know, I noticed that. And I know that in order for me to be successful, I got to have the same type of determination. And that's why I'm standing up here now and I'm doing this presentation. And there were a dozen people that just gave him that type of leadership thing.
How old was
your
child at the time?
18.
And would they give you that same speech today, do you think?
I think so. I mean, every day is different.
Mr. Rick, can you ask Fluffy the question you asked Mr. Lazarus about success and happiness?
Do you think that you found to this day the thing that makes you the happiest or you have the most passion in?
No. I actually still like the pursuit of happiness. You know, I've had several jobs, done several things, and I'm still trying to find that purpose or that one thing, like they say, the one thing you would do for free, even if you didn't get paid to do it. What is that one thing? And I'm actually think about this sometimes. You know, what was it I missed, or what was I need to be looking for, or what's going to put me in that point? And it's not always about money. And I'd be trying to think, what is it I would do, you know, just because I love doing it?
Because
it's hard to do
it. One reason I ask is because I don't even know if I have a hobby. I have so much on my plate, I can't think of nothing myself. I would just sit down and be like, man, let me just go ahead and put this model car together. I like doing it. Or a puzzle, or...
That's what I'm saying.
You
want to
know what's funny? You want to know what's funny? I disagree with him. Because he does not like doing anything tedious at all. He's like, no. The hands-on shit, he's like, fuck that. I'm not doing it. But when it comes down to his own shit, he will do it. Changing his oil, changing his brakes. Anybody else shit? That's not my job. But when it comes down to his own shit, he's not like other men. He ain't running a Jiffy Lube and a dealership.
I ain't doing that.
You say, I ain't changing your brakes. He comes over in the raggedy-ass jeans and that torn hoodie and say, well, show me how to do it. So his hobby, well, I would say his passion is for learning. Because you can't stop him. It don't matter what it is. You can tell him, that's some nasty-ass alcohol. Well, what other alcohols are there out there that might taste good that people might like? He might not like the shit, but he'll get you to drink it. I know some shit he made me drink that I didn't even like. Like that peanut butter shit. I'm not going to drink that shit today. And he was over there like, hey, I had it. It was a little bit. Try it. So maybe it's manipulation.
Was it good?
Maybe it was.
See, still,
I wasn't going to drink that shit. I was like, no, I'm not. I hate peanut butter. But guess what he did? He convinced me to fucking drink that shit. So whatever hobby that falls into, that's what he does. And like I said, when it's his own shit, you know.
Well, what would you categorize that as?
I don't fucking know either.
Well, let me throw something. I would say, we got a little politics and everything. But here it is. I've seen one of the greatest fathers, the greatest parents that I've ever seen. Despite all the situation, as one little kid is throwing a tantrum and everything, and he takes him and he does his back and forth thing with him. Next thing I know, this kid is laughing and hugging his neck and stuff. And he's like, now, go over there and do that. Okay. And they're like sitting there going like, what happened? I was just totally mad at the world. And to be able to do that, parenting is a very important job, and I think that's what we're talking about. And if I could throw something at finding that passion for stuff, tomorrow morning I'll be up at 6 a.m. in an international ministry meeting with people. And the other week they asked me if I would lead the group in the discussion, and which I did. And the guy said, you know, we're here to used to play music. So they asked me to play something. I had my horn, I played. And I when I considered it successful, the next week says, are you going to play for us again?
Mr. Bullshit, have you found the thing that makes you the happiest?
This is great. Yeah.
What's that?
Mechanic.
That's what makes you happy?
I look at cars for free. I fix them for free. I charge people wazoo shit out the ass. But I have those moments. I started a non-for-profit for people who received unemployed, any state or government funding of any type, where all you had to show was proof and I fixed your car for free. And I held on to it for a year. Didn't last because I didn't realize, I forgot how shady people can be. But it was, I didn't mind. I mean, I was doing shit, making house calls, picking up cars, all types of shit because, you know, they didn't have the funds or the means to do it. But it made it, and it's not that it made me happy. I wouldn't say that. It was something that I felt brought success to me, and I felt it brought happiness to other people. So it wasn't so. I would say that's my happiness. Me giving you something to, hey, this bettered my life. That was it for me.
So you helping others?
Yeah, me helping others in that way. Not always, because you know I'm not strategically.
No, you're an asshole.
Me as far as helping you, you know, benefit yourself, the transportation wise or financially wise in that situation.
In your lane, yeah.
It's, I stayed in my lane. Yeah. I knew this is what I could do. And, you know, I didn't, people would tell me all the time, well, you know, I think that's too much. Or, you know, you should charge less. And, you know, for me, I don't have a rebuttal. I don't say, well, you know, maybe I could. You know, that's my price. You can pay it or you don't. But I know for the people who can't, and I know you don't have the means to, I'm not one of them guys who like, well, call me when you get the money. You know, I'm that guy who fixes your brakes. And you be like, well, I only got $10. I meant to bring the other 40. You know, I ain't the guy who like, well, you better bring my fucking money. You know, all right, catch me next week. You know, if you don't, you know, I didn't miss nothing. You pay for these parts. The labor, I already knew. I had the skill. I can't give it up. So I gave you something that you didn't have. Whether or not you repay me for it or not.
They're paying you for knowledge.
Exactly. That's all it was. You only pay me for the skill that I already have. And tomorrow I'm still going to have it. So I'm not missing a beat on what you don't give me today. But tomorrow, next week, shit, the day you die, you might be in your casket and be like, I remember that nigga who changed my brakes for free. I don't know his name, but he was bald with a beard.
So you lucky that Al Unser was your daddy, and he worked on cars and made you work on cars, and that's how he made you become
actually, my daddy a
great mechanic and stuff. So, wait, I thought that's what we were saying.
No, I said you were raised
no,
by
I'm wolves. Joking on this.
His if, name is Mowgli.
If your parents are responsible for your sins.
I got a question
for
you.
No, you're responsible for your own sins.
But this is my question for you. I got a question for Red. And in response, I want y'all to give y'all a response, all right?
Yes,
so, sir. Red, if there was something you can tell your father today, anything that you could tell him that he should have taught you, showed you, push you more into that you felt he didn't, what would that be? Anything you could say.
Baseball.
What would you tell him? If you wrote him a letter today, he was not here, what would you say?
Oh, he's already told me that.
I have that conversation.
I didn't say that. I just asked, what would it be?
A coach kind of gave me, put me in a situation that deterred me from it. So, what... He referred to what I kind of try to do with my kids. I kind of wish he did. I don't know. had the means. He's
confusing me.
My dad.
Okay.
So because of the situation that happened with the coach, if he'd have changed that tantrum from going to 180 and going the other way, and changed it to rotate it and see something positive back into a 360, so I could still go forward with that, I feel like I would appreciate it that more.
And if there was something, Lazarus, that you could tell your son today, if you could tell him how you felt as a father, if your son wasn't here today, what would you feel, how would you be able to tell your son as a father that you feel you did the best you could? How do you say that? Or what would you say to let him know, hey, this is, I gave you all I fucking had?
Well, you can't teach what you don't know. I use an example of just like with the kid that was calmed by that interaction. That didn't exist for me. I used to really be a straight line type of person with blinders on. If I didn't see it my way, then it hit the highway. So to be more open and versatile in what you're doing, my thoughts at that punch was like, maybe I should go kill the coach.
So my one question is, if your son died today, and they said, write him a letter and tell him how you did the best you could as a father, what would it say?
Oh, the letter would say, based on what I've seen in you and how you are so...
Say it. I don't want to tell
based you. Based on what I said, based upon what I see in you, you are successful. There's nothing more that I need to do except for you to keep being you. Baseball wouldn't have made... him more money when
I think you missed the beginning of the question. If your son died today,
right,
and you had to write a letter to explain to him how you were the best father you could be, what would that letter say? This moment, now, you're reading your letter, you're writing this letter, what would it say to him?
My son, because of the love that I see you share, even with your children, even with me, I know there's nothing else that I would have needed to do or I could have taught you that you didn't learn and already have, because I've talked with him and touched with him spiritually, and I know right now that, you know, you're in a place where others are still learning from you, and you got that love that generates even through situations that are turmoil. You're still you, and that's the most important thing. Baseball, soccer, whatever it may be that you may be involved with, catching dogs, but you are you, and that's a great thing.
Fluffy, same question for you. If your children died today, what letter would you write your son? If your son died today and you wanted to tell him how you could be the best father you were, or you felt you could be the best you could be, what would that letter say? What would you read over his grave?
I would tell him I was always honest with you. I gave you all that I could give, and hopefully you understood, and hopefully you took what I gave you and did more with it. And I hope that you are a better man than I was, so that your kids can be better, because it goes on from one generation to the next.
And that's the Chi-Town Leaders Podcast.